We are doing the Derech HaChaim, the Maharal and Pirkei Avot. We're holding the first page of the introduction. It's page Zayin. And the Maharal had quoted the Pasuk, Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah O. He had quoted the Talmud in Tractate Sota that explained that the mitzvah is like the lamp, the Torah is like the light itself, just like a lamp is finite. So too, a mitzvah affords finite protection. Torah is like light, just like light is infinite, so too, Torah gives infinite protection. Now, the mitzvah is in the physical world, it's a physical action done with the physical body, and that's something which is finite, that's defined by the parameters of time. And that's why the mitzvah also has a limited effect. But Torah is something that's spiritual, conceptual, and so Torah is not limited by time. And that's why Torah's protection is limitless. And that's why the Pasuk compares Torah to light. Gives a person light to bring him to the essence, to the world to come. Ve'amar od, we're continuing in the second column. Ve'derech chayim tochechot musar, the continuation of the verse, the path of life is helping a person remove himself from the improper path, keeping himself in line. So we have these things, these ethics, these guidelines that are not the commandments of the Torah. What logic dictates, this is an ethical way of behaving, that's what we call musar, ethics. And that is Derech Chaim, that's the path of life. The Medrash says, in the Garden of Eden, there was a path of life, Lishmo Derech Chaim, Derech Etz HaChaim. Our sages say, Derech Eretz preceded Torah by 26 generations. So there's a path to Torah, and the path to Torah is Derech Eretz. And so Torah is the tree of life. But Derech Eretz is the path to the tree of life. Torah is like a tree that's firmly planted. It has great roots, and the winds of the world can't shift the tree from its place. That's Torah. Torah is a gift Hashem has given us, as we will explain later on. Just like the tree comes out of its roots from the earth, so too Torah emanates from Hashem. That's what the Kabbalists call Ilan Hafuch, that the Torah is like an upside down tree. The roots are in heaven and its branches are down below. If everyone in the world tried to uproot Torah, they wouldn't be able to move it even in a thing. The Medrash says, when Shlomo HaMelech married too many wives, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, the book of the Torah, the book of Dvarim, went up to heavens and said, Ribono Shel Olam, if a king makes a decree and people start ignoring part of it, then all of it is worthless. So to Shlomo is transgressing part of me. You said not to have too many wives. The Ribono Shel Olam answered and said, you could take Shlomo and 1,000 times Shlomo, and not a yud, not a drop of ink, will be annulled from you. That's what the Medrash says. Shlomo transgressed the commandment not to have too many wives. So the Torah came before the Ribono Shel Olam and said, if you let part of me be erased, then all of me can be erased. And the Ribono Shel Olam answered,
the
Torah is arguing you have to stand up for your honor, Ribono Shel Olam. If you're going to let Shlomo get away with this, then mitzvos will be erasable. Okay. And the Ribono Shel Olam said, not one letter of you is erasable. I'm not letting anyone, the whole world can stand on its head, I'm not letting anyone erase even a letter. And so too, if all the four nations of the world that correspond to the four directions of the world, if they all come to approve Torah from Israel through all their decrees, as they've been doing, they will not be successful. And that Torah is called the tree of life, that's an indication of the eternal nature of Torah in its essence. Don't think Torah is time-oriented and the Torah stops being relevant at a juncture in world history. That's why the Torah is called the tree of life. Just like life is something we expect to be eternal, so too Torah we expect to be eternal. Just like a stream is called Ma'ayan, a stream of Ma'im Chayim, living waters. When is it called Ma'im Chayim? When the stream continues flowing. It has a constant source. Man is called Chai, not Chayim. Because Chai means you have life, not you are living. So man has life. He is Chai. Man receives his life, and he can lose that life. But a stream that has a constant source, its own source of water, and keeps flowing, that's called Maim Chayim. A tree that's called Eitz Chayim is a tree that doesn't get its life from somewhere else, but that tree is life. That's why Torah is called the tree of life. It is life. And that's why Hashem is called Elokim Chayim. The essence of life, eternal life. It doesn't say Chai. And when it does say Chai Hashem, he says, if you understand the grammar of it, being that there's a patach, that's an indication that it's like Chayim. I don't understand the grammar. When it comes to humans, we say Chai Paro, not Chai Paro, because it's the life of. Not that he is life, but rather the life of Pharaoh. By Hashem we say Chai Hashem. By humans we say Chai Paro. The Torah is called Eitz Chayim to teach us that the Torah will never be nullified. No one else can nullify Torah, nor will the Torah nullify itself. The Torah is called Eitz Chayim because it also gives life. When people hold on to it, those who learn it, they receive life. And the Torah is called Eitz. Why is it called a tree? Because through the Torah, a person can connect and become implanted with the Ribon Shel Olam. Hashem, so to speak, planted the Torah. That's why the Torah is called the tree of life, for those who hold on to it. You connect to the Torah, it's a way of connecting to the Ribon Shel Olam. And if you think about it, the whole concept of Torah is a concept that's very hard for us to understand. The Ribon Shel Olam spoke to me. The Ribon Shel Olam wrote a guidebook to the world. The Ribon Shel Olam has a representation in the physical world. He is so great, and I'm supposed to understand that this Torah represents him? That's something very hard to fathom. Our sages say the tree of life, that's the Torah. Derech Eretz is called the path to the tree of life because a straight path is called Derech Chayim. And because the path to Torah is a path that gives us ethics, a person thinks, I want to go after my desires. I want to go after the things that are physically attractive. Well, those are the things that represent death. When I connect, when I'm going to be a glutton, I'm going to eat my heart out. Well, that's not life. Torah gives me the balanced way to the physical world. Our sages said when woman was created, so Satan was created with her. From the beginning of creation to the creation of woman, you don't find the letter Samach. And then when the woman is created, it says, Vayisgor basar tachtena. So the Talmud asks, wait a second, the Samach does appear beforehand. It speaks about the stream that surrounded the land of Chavilah. So vevet eretz Chavilah. The Talmud says, yeah, that's talking about water. It's not talking about people. What's the idea here? So here, this is a long concept. He says it in two words, and Rav Moshe Cordoviro has a long piece on this. Okay, let me see if I'll try. When we speak about the Yetzer Hara, So our first thought is, Yetzer Hara, ooh, that's the evil inclination. But in fact, our sages said, Hashem created the world, it was Tov, it was good. That's the Yetzer Tov, that's the desire for good. It was Tov Me'od, it was very good, that's the Yetzer Hara. That is saying, why is the Yetzer Hara called Tov Me'od, very good? Why? So I'm going to try to summarize a long piece Rav Moshe Cordoviro writes in Tomer Dvora. And he explains the following concept. Desire is not a bad thing. And Yetzer Hara is not a bad desire. Yetzer Hara is the desire for the physical taken to the excess. So Yetzer is desire. Hara is when I'm going to take that desire for the physical to the excess. Anything that represents physical desire can be Yetzer Hara, but it is not Ra. It's not that that thing is evil. It's that that thing represents desire to me, which represents the desire to go in excess with that thing. That thing is not evil. Our sages say that, that the evil inclination is a blessing to the world. It's the that physical attraction Hashem created into the world. What they translate in English, we say evil inclination. That sounds, yeah, it's inclination to do evil. No. In Hebrew, Yetzer Hara is Yetzer, the desire, which if I'm going to follow it to the excess, it's going to be Ra. But it's not intrinsically Ra. It's not Yetzer Ra. It's not bad, evil inclination. That's a mistranslation. And so if Moshe Cordoviro says, We have a partnership, we have responsibilities, and we have a nature that we're attracted. And being that women play a certain role in that partnership, but man has an inclination to take that to the excess. So that's the idea of Yetzer Hara. He says Yetzer Hara is not evil. It's not bad. It's a partnership and it's the greatest potential for good when taken in the right measurement, when taken in the right balance. So woman represents the greatest potential for good. Man's inclination to take his desire for woman to the excess, that's what's Ra. When our sages say when woman was created, what is that? Well, you have many verses that overtly say that's good. For sure it's good. When our sages say when she was created, Yetzer Hara came to the world, what were they saying? They were saying, yes, when she was created, the potential for man to take his desire for her to the excess and destroy himself, that's what was created there. But that's not that she represents bad. It's that in most of life, most of people's lives, their greatest desire, their greatest temptation, their greatest downfall is taking that desire to the excess. So that's in a nutshell what Rav Moshe Cordoviro writes. Rav Kook has a similar piece in Einayah, and that's what the Maharal is alluding to here. Obviously, if the Torah is compared to a woman and the people of Israel are compared to a woman, no one's saying, woman represents Satan. That's not what he's talking about here. He's saying that desire where man can lose control and most of desire revolves around that, that's what our sages said when she was created, that's what came to the world. That potential for man to fall with that desire. Yes?
So, a person were only acting with Yetzer Tov, we say that there's a mitzvah to eat delicious food on Shabbat, enjoy this peaceful pleasure, right? So, with the Yetzer Tov only, he would eat whatever it is, the cholim or what have you, and he would eat to whatever is the right proportion, and he would enjoy its physical taste, and he would feel connected God and eating it and be like a chef of the world and so forth, and he wouldn't gluttonize on it. But with the Yetzer Hara, then he has the ability to gluttonize.
Correct.
You know, without the Yetzer Hara, he wouldn't have that ability. He'd be like, oh yeah, I'm done. Like, I'm full and so forth. And the Yetzer Hara, it's only the only thing that it adds to a person's capabilities is literally to take something to an extreme that's evil.
So I have to look at Rav Moshe Cordoviro, but if I remember correctly, the Yetzer Hara also represents that desire which allows me to do what's good. So you see, when there was no Yetzer Hara for promiscuity, people didn't have children altogether. So that Yetzer, that desire, is a positive thing. It's a positive thing so long as I can tame it. But I need it. That's a good question. What type of world it's going to be then? That's a long discussion, right? That's a good question, right?
Maybe there's more than one Yetzer Hara. Maybe there's the same terms used to designate different things.
Could be. Could be. Could be.